We might be in situations where we're being spanked, and we know it. Lord God, you have done what you said you would do. You are disciplining me, and I acknowledge that, and I have sinned before you. And yet within this, I pray that you will change my heart and turn me this way, that I would follow you wholeheartedly.
Well, thanks for joining us for this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we complete our look at Nehemiah chapter 1, in which we've been learning how we are to deal with impossible situations.
Yes, Dave, so let's get right to our lesson for today and turn to Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 5 through 11.
Thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
We give up too early. And a lot of times we give up because we are still self-focused. And that's part of the problem. When it's self-focused, self-pity, self-everything, we give up pretty quickly. But Nehemiah is not self-focused, and we can learn from this. Persistence in prayer is crucial for the believer. Nehemiah is a godly man, and we are being instructed from the Old Testament that we should be like Nehemiah and persist in prayer. We lack persistence so often. Now, why is it God doesn't answer our prayers right away? Well, Scripture kind of reveals some principles. Why wouldn't God answer Nehemiah's prayer? He's a godly man. Don't you think Nehemiah, prayer of a righteous man, accomplished month, God would intervene right away? Well, he didn't. He didn't intervene right away. It took 4 to 5 months. Because prayer is not primarily about getting an answer. It is about our relationship with the Lord. When we pray, we are communicating with the living God. And as we'll see in our message, as we pray, we are humbling ourselves. We are showing reliance on Him. We are learning to know Him better. It is drawing us to focus on the Lord. It's very important. And in that prayer, over time, it's apparent that God uses that time to then reveal to us how He wants to use us in the midst of those situations and difficulties. God uses prayer to change us, to prepare us for what He will do in His answer. He's preparing us. That's why it takes time. He's doing good. He's much better than our unrighteous father who would not give his son a snake, right? He's even better than that, right? Of course He's going to respond in the right way at the right time. So God uses prayer to change us. So we need to persist in prayer and not lose heart. God is using your time to draw you close, to humble you, to prepare you for His answer, to move your heart to do what He wants you to do. Be persistent, brothers and sisters. There's another smaller principle here connected to this. This prayer of Nehemiah is really not about himself at all. Nehemiah didn't run into a situation that affected him. It's all about him. It is not about him. It is about God's glory and God's people that he is broken up over. He is one who is praying on behalf of others and God's glory. When we get to the point where we're walking with the Lord, we're trusting Him and we're concerned about His people, then when those situations arise, it breaks us up and we go to God in prayer for His people and His glory. And Nehemiah is like that. Our lives are changed. It's different. It used to be about us, our friends, and all our stuff, but now it's about Him and His people. Notice what he says here. Let thine ears, verse 6, be attentive, and thine eyes open to hear the prayer of thy servant, which I am praying before thee now, day and night, get this, on behalf of the sons of Israel, thy servants. Nehemiah is interceding for them. We need to be interceding for our brothers and sisters when we see distress, when we see difficulty, when we see opposition. We should be interceding for our brothers and sisters, interceding. Pray unselfishly. Pray for others. We should consider others as more important than ourselves, right? You see, then God's character is being exalted. So then, what do we see here? God is exalted, focusing on his greatness, petitioning him in persistent prayer, praying on behalf of others. Now, it doesn't mean we don't pray for our needs. We're to pray about everything. We understand that. But this prayer is teaching us about a man who was centered around the Lord and his people and was concerned for them. And we need to learn from that. Now, notice next from his example, he humbly confessed sin. He humbly confessed sin. And specifically, it was sin relating to the very circumstance he was praying about. And this is really important. Notice what he says here. Prayer on behalf of Israel, the middle of verse 6. Let thine ear be attentive and thine eyes open to hear the prayer of thy servant, which I am praying before thee now day and night on behalf of the sons of Israel, thy servants. And then look at this part. Confessing the sins of the sons of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, and I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments and the statutes nor ordinances which thou dost command thy servant Moses. Nehemiah knows the truth of God, that in Deuteronomy 28 through 30, that if Israel did not obey, they would be cursed and they would be expelled. And Nehemiah is saying, hey, it's not the nation's fault. It's our fault we're in this. It's our fault. We sinned against thee, I and my father's house. He includes himself. We acted corruptly against thee. Verse 7, and have not kept the commandments and statutes and ordinances which thou dost command your servant Moses. We broke your covenant, and we deserve what happened to us. You are just. And this is crucial in prayer, by the way, that we need to recognize that when we are in difficult circumstances, we are his people or whoever it might be, we need to look at our culpability in the midst of those things and confess that. We need to acknowledge our guilt. Now, not always is it that way. Sometimes we're not guilty. Look at Job. Job had circumstances. He wasn't guilty. But sometimes we are. We didn't do the right thing. We were corrupted. We were focused on these things rather than you, Lord God. We were wrong. We were wrong. So Nehemiah is acknowledging, confessing the corporate sin of Israel, including himself. And by the way, if you got sin, let's say you got some situation, you know, where you're praying for a financial situation. Well, hopefully you're confessing your sin. If you blew it financially, you got to confess the parts that relate to what you're praying about, right? You know, so many Christians are praying for stuff and they're not seeing it fully where, wow, these actions got me to this point. Lord, I'm sorry, and I pray you will deliver me from this. I don't deserve it, but yet your promises say if we do this and this, you'll do this. Because you're a gracious, forgiving God. Psalm 66, David writes, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord doesn't hear. If you don't confess sin, if you got sin, God isn't listening. You got to deal with the sin. And what does God do when you do deal with the sin? Proverbs 28, verse 13, he who conceals his transgression will not prosper. Nehemiah is praying for success. He wouldn't prosper if he had sin, by the way. But he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. There you go. There you go. Be careful not to blame others. Nehemiah didn't blame the nations. He said, it's all our fault, Lord. We did it, and you were faithful to your word. You were just. You did what you said you would do. We might be in situations where we're being spanked, and we know it. Lord God, you have done what you said you would do. You are disciplining me, and I acknowledge that, and I have sinned before you. And yet within this, I pray that you will change my heart and turn me this way, that I would follow you wholeheartedly. You know, we need to be acknowledging those things. Been praying with no response? Pray humbly, confess sin, acknowledge any sin that might be related to your prayer. Confess any sin in your life. You see, he who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. So then, number one, acknowledge God is far above our circumstances. He's great and awesome. He's faithful to his word and keeps his loving kindness towards us. Two, persist in prayer. Pray on behalf of others. Three, and for God's glory. Four, confess sin. Confess sin. And then notice Nehemiah now, five, he reminds God of the truth that applies to his circumstance. Look at this, verse 8. Remember the word which thou didst command thy servant Moses, saying, If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though those of you have been scattered were in the most remote part of the heavens, I will gather them from there, and I will bring them to the place where I have chosen to cause my name to dwell. Nehemiah is repeating back the word of God to the God of the word. He's repeating God's word. Remember. Now, does God need to remember his word? Of course not. We're going to see it's very important to repeat back to God the truth, and we're going to see why in a moment. It's very important. That applies to your circumstance. Rightly divided, not some promise that is taken out of context, but something that applies directly to your situation. He reiterates it. The word of God, he's quoting Leviticus 26 initially. Remember in the word, thou dost command thy servant Moses, saying, if you're unfaithful, I'll scatter you among peoples. Lord, you did what you said. This is why we're in this circumstance. And then he talks from Deuteronomy 30. He paraphrases Deuteronomy 30 verses 1 to 4, basically, to apply it rightly to the circumstance. Turn to Deuteronomy 30 verse 1. So it shall be when all these things have come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind in all the nations where the Lord God has banished you. When all of a sudden it comes to mind when he's banished you that you disobeyed the word, right? Which he says, I have set before you, God's banished you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and soul to all that I am commanding you today, you and your sons, then the Lord your God will restore you from captivity and have compassion on you and will gather you again from the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. If your outcasts are at the ends of the earth, from there the Lord God will gather you, and from there he will bring you back. And Nehemiah is paraphrasing this. Lord, you said this. Remember that you said this. Yes, you said that if we were disobedient, we would be scattered. But you also said if we obeyed you, you would gather us back, right? He's sharing the word of God that relates to his circumstance. He is rightly applying it to the circumstances. And then he reminds them of whose people they are, quoting Deuteronomy 9, verse 29, verse 10, and they are thy servants, the people whom thou didst redeem by thy great power and strong hand. They're your servants. So the Nehemiah is reminding the Lord God of the truth of his word, which applies directly to this prayer and the circumstances. But why? Why remind God of the word? He knows his word. Why remind him? Folks, it's this simple. It pleases God when we reiterate his promises to him in context, because it shows we believe what he has said. And remember, apart from faith, it is impossible to please him. When you repeat back his word, it shows you believe it. You believe it. You believe his promises, and that pleases him. But it not only pleases him, it builds us up. You see, the scriptures encourage us, and they help us persevere, and they give us hope. It works both ways. Look throughout the Psalms. David reiterates God's truth to him rightly in his context in the midst of many difficulties. David reiterates it. And let me give you a caveat. We are not to repeat back God's word wrongly and out of context. Never stand on a promise that does not truly apply to you. We need to be careful that we share only what applies directly to us and rightly. I'll give an example. Often you hear people praying for America based on the promises of God. If my people will humble themselves, pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive them their sin, and I will heal their land. And they say, if we humble ourselves as a nation, America, God will heal this land. No, that's not what this is saying. God will forgive. Those are other passages that say he'll forgive you, humble yourself. But here, that was to the Jews. If you read right before, that was talking about shutting the reins and not giving them the blessing of the produce of things. What about Matthew chapter 18? I often hear this promise in prayer. Lord, two or three gathered in your name, we know that you hear us. Wait a second, you can't say that. That's taking it out of context. Matthew 18 specifically is in the context of church discipline. It says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in your midst. They are coming to do God's work in terms of church discipline. It is not that he is in our midst in a special way when we have a prayer meeting with two or three people. Don't claim promises that don't apply. But we need to claim promises that do. Let me give you an illustration. You have said, Lord, if we come before you humbly and make our requests known to you with thanksgiving, that you will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Lord, I am requesting that you help me in this area that I am concerned about. I am giving it over to you, and I trust you to guard my heart and mind. You can apply those things rightly. Lord, I know that you have said you will never leave me nor forsake me. I feel alone, but it is not true. I know this is what you have said. You can apply God's word rightly. You can apply it rightly in your prayers. So Nehemiah applies it very specifically to his circumstance. Like I shared earlier, you might apply his word. But Lord, I know you're disciplining me because you discipline your children, the ones you love. And I know that I'm not to faint or I'm not to treat it lightly. But Lord, help me now to let your discipline grow me so that I will have the peaceful fruit of righteousness. That's how you pray his word. You remind him of his word. Apply it rightly. And so here, Nehemiah is reminding the Lord of the word of God that applies rightly to the circumstance. What a tremendous example. Nehemiah's a good guy. We need to be that way. And then notice our last point here back in our passage. We need to make very specific requests of God. He wants us to make specific requests. Our requests are so vague at times. Our requests when we pray are so vague. They don't need to be that vague. We're going to see we should pray in accordance with God's will as revealed in the Word of God. And there are specifics in there that we can bring forth. So notice, Nehemiah had been moved over much persistent prayer over time to make a specific request. Verse 11, O Lord, I beseech thee, may thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and the prayer of thy servants who delight to revere thy name and make thy servant successful today and grant him compassion before this man, that's the king. Now I was the cupbearer to the king. And we see in chapter 2, he is prepared to go to ask the king to relieve him of his duties so that he may go to Israel, but have all the king's favor so he can be protected and have the lumber and all the things he needs. This is a big request. And so now he says, O Lord, I beseech thee. He is entreating him that he'd be attentive to the prayer of thy servant. And notice something interesting here that I didn't notice last week. And he says, of thy servant and the prayer of thy servants who delight to revere thy name. I initially thought that was speaking of the Jews back in Jerusalem. It's not speaking of them because they had no idea of what was coming. They're not going to be praying for Nehemiah when he goes before the king. They didn't know about this. Look back at Nehemiah chapter 2. I'll share this for you. Nehemiah 2, verse 11. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, and I went with a few men with me, and I did not tell anybody. Now, it's not wrong holding back for things from people sometimes. It's wise, by the way. I did not tell anyone what my God was putting into my mind for Jerusalem. They didn't know yet. So evidently, he's got believers in Susa that delight to revere or fear the name of God, and they are praying too. Isn't that wonderful? They delight to revere in thy name. They delight to fear his name. They delight to fear God. Do you delight to fear God? These guys did. Nehemiah did. So then it's come to the point where he's going to pray specifically for success and compassion before the king. And we can learn from his example here. There needs to be a point, as we will see, where we get specific, where the Lord has led us to share specific requests. Nehemiah prayed for 4 months. God put on his heart, we see that, what he was to do. And now he's asking him specifically to grant success and compassion before the king that he might be let go, set free to go help the Jews in Jerusalem to build the walls, to help them. Nehemiah evidently understood that nothing's impossible with God. This is the head of the Persian Empire, right? But Nehemiah, I believe, understood Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is like a channel of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. Nehemiah knew that he needed to go to God to have the king's heart changed. And his prayer was not vague. Vague prayers get vague answers, I believe. Specific prayers. We are to make our requests known to the Lord. Now, yes, we have the Spirit of God who intercedes when we don't know what to pray at times, when we're really broken down. But by and large, when we're praying, we should have specific requests that we bring before the Lord. Make your requests known to God. If God could change the mind of the most powerful man in the world, he can change the heart of a hardened family member. He can move the heart of your boss, your spouse, whoever it might be. if it's in accordance with His will as you serve Him. And that prayer may not be answered today or tomorrow. It may take months to answer, but God is faithful and He's going to work on you and He's going to put you in the place where He wants you to be so you'll be in the right place when He does answer. We need to pray specifically. So then, from Nehemiah's prayer, we have a great example. We need to acknowledge God's greatness. We need to persist in prayer. We need to not give up. Don't lose heart. We need to wait on the Lord. We need to intercede for His people on behalf of His glory. We need to confess sin, that's any sin, but also that which was related to the circumstance. We need to remind Him of the promises that apply specifically. And then we need to make, as He has led our hearts, our requests specifically known to Him. There is nothing too difficult for the Lord. Ephesians 3:20, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Well, there's some of you out here who have a great crisis. You have great difficulty. You are in need of salvation. And if you are willing to be specific before the Lord, to acknowledge your sin and go before and believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead, call out to the Lord God, save me, Lord Jesus, from my sins. You believe in Him, He will save you. He will save you. What about the rest of us today? We need to take stock of where our prayers are at. First of all, are we serving the Lord? Is that the context in which we're praying? We're serving Him. We're serving Him in our marriage. We're serving Him in our families. We're serving Him at work. We're serving Him at church. It's all going to work together. It's not going to be little pieces here and there. It's going to be all of them. We're serving together. Some of you don't acknowledge His greatness, His sovereignty, His love. Confess that. Some of you are not persistent. Your prayer life is a little bit here, a little there. You forget. Confess that. Some of you don't pray for your brothers and sisters, your fellow servants, and for God's glory. Confess that. Some of you need to confess sin very clearly. Some of you need to acknowledge that your prayers have not been according to His word and His promises. And some of you need to be specific once you have truly been walking with Him and praying diligently. We've seen an amazing prayer today. And if you leave here without it affecting you, that's to your shame. Remember what Jesus said concerning those who are truly His family. He answered and said, who are my mother, my brothers, and my sisters? My mother, brothers, sisters are those who hear the word of God and do it. They hear it and do it. You've heard it today. See, aha, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth, and Thy great power and Thy great outstretched arm. Nothing is impossible for Thee.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, Greg, now that we've finished Nehemiah's prayer, what do you want to share with our listeners?
Well, folks, again, if God can change the most powerful man in the world in answering Nehemiah's prayer, He can change the heart of a hard-hearted family member. He can move the heart of your boss, your spouse, whatever it might be, if it's according to His will. So then, let us learn from Nehemiah, and when we pray, let us acknowledge the Lord's greatness, persist in prayer, not give up, don't lose heart, intercede for His people and His glory, confess sin, and remind the Lord of His promises that apply specifically, and then make our specific requests known to our gracious God, and then leave the impossible in the hands of the Lord who loves you.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.